Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rum and Regret podcast. I am Andy Drake.
Johanna Myers.
Nate Tussey, and we drink and we know things.
Today is Tuesday, April 18th, and it's been a while, everybody. Thanks for hanging with us through our tiny little hiatus. And we're back. We're going to be catching up on everything that we have been watching. Nate and I have seen the D&D movie. Joe and I have seen the Mario movie, and we will give little mini reviews of those movies, as well as shows that we've been watching. We are going to stay away from The Mandalorian just yet because the finale is tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. And by the time this releases, that will have passed. So it would sound weird if we did a catch up for now. So we will do a full Mando retro after the finale, probably on our next podcast. But there's plenty to talk about out there. And let's jump in. Joe, let's talk some horror. What do you got?
I finally got to see Men from Alex Garland, who did Ex Machina and Annihilation, two of my favorite movies. Yeah.
Okay.
So Men. The first half of this movie very accurately paints a picture of how a woman feels in a very awkward situation with men. A lot of weird, shitty men. So if you basically want ever to know how a woman feels in any given situation, watch the first half of this movie. It paints it perfectly.
Okay.
The last half of this movie goes on a weird Cronenberg, like, just ride of, like, it just jukes. And it's like, okay, wow, there's, like, body horror and weird religious things going on here. And it's just, like... I gotta watch it again for sure.
Okay.
Wow, it took a turn, but
yeah.
Good movie. Yeah, I think so.
How many side kittens?
At least 8 side kittens.
Okay, all right.
At least.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, the last 30 minutes are a fucking trip.
Really? So, okay.
So check that out.
Okay.
I think it was on. Is another thankful from Mr. Soup streaming.
Oh, nice. Nice.
You can get it on Amazon. And
sponsored wherever. By.
The Horror Corner is basically sponsored by Mr. Soup at this point.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if you follow him at all on your TikToks, but he changed his whole thing to, I think it's Mr. Soup's Horror Corner or something like that.
Yeah.
And our friend Sarah threw together a quick logo, which looks like a can of Campbell's soup, but the red label is blood. And it has a bearded guy with a monocle on the label. It's great.
Yeah.
Noise. Great. Definitely got to check that out. So next is Cube, the remake, the 2021 Korean remake of The Cube. I did not like this movie. When I first heard about they were doing it, I'm like,
yeah,
the movie's perfect. Don't fuck with it. Watch it. Just the 97 movie is perfect.
Yeah.
So I watched this and I was trying to go into it with a very open mind.
Uh-huh.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah.
They ham-fisted the story. And
a little
the
bit.
Finding out of how the cubes work and things like that.
Yeah.
And it didn't actually bring anything new except for the end a little bit.
Right.
I would still say just watch the 97 Cube. If you want more good Cube goodness after that, then watch this one. Because the sequels for Cube, like Hypercube and Third Quad Cube, whatever they're called, they were not great. I would put the original Cube, then this, then the two sequels.
Yeah. So. Yeah, this, you know, I watched it. Thank you so much for the suggestion, by the way.
You're very welcome.
90. No, I agree with you there. I think the 97 one. I mean, even like when there's a 15, 16, 17 year gap between movies, right? I think there needs to be a noticeable sort of improvement either in set design or like improving the story or something. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you totally there that like, I mean, the set design on 97 was just, it was so good.
Yeah.
It was so great.
And the only difference I could see in this one is the cubes are bigger.
Well, cubes like are bigger and they're taller. But they dumbed down the design too. Like they had this really ornate sort, not ornate, but those very cool designs in each cube. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't so like, I don't want to say mathematical because that's a big part of it, but like.
The lighting was,
yeah,
like there was some like different like colors for the cubes and it was like substantial lighting and
right
like, vibe. And
yeah. And, but they do that here, but just the design of the inner cubes were, I think was better.
Mm-hmm.
And was well, the traps I thought were cool. I thought were great. Again, this as a cube movie, I think it was good, but I agree with you. I think
they had a couple traps where I was like, okay, that's pretty badass.
No, that was,
like different than the original and, you know.
Yeah, right.
Equally as gory and shocking as the original.
Yeah, but I think that this was, it felt like this was done with like a knowledge. I mean, they expected the viewer to have the knowledge of the first one already.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Like, and that's where, and I think that's where they fell down. Like this, I don't think this could stand still on its own without having prior knowledge of the 97 version.
Cause so. Like, I actually looked to see the runtime of both movies and they're like 10 minutes apart.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, like, cause the first one, they took so much longer to put together. Like,
yeah.
How the cubes work, how they figured out the trap situation. I'm trying not to spoil anything for anybody
right.
who hasn't seen it. But like there was a little more like detail taken into that journey. And then this one, it was just like, oh nope, here's how it is. Like,
yeah.
We assume you've seen the first one. Let's just get on to the gore and to the ending.
Right. Yeah.
So that like that's my only kind of like caveat with this movie.
Yeah. No, I
surprisingly good.
Yeah.
Acting good. The little changes that they made and different little like the ending and like different interactions between the characters. It's like, okay, that justifies you making this movie.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, 6.5 side kittens for me.
I would say, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll go 7
okay.
for 2 specific traps.
Oh, okay.
In which we could talk about this later.
Okay. All right. No, that's great. Okay. Totally. Totally. Anything else in the horror corner?
The new Evil Dead is out, so go see that in theaters.
That's right.
The Pope's Exorcist with... oh, shit. What's his name? Russell Crowe.
Oh, that's right.
In theaters.
Yeah.
So definitely go check that out. Those are 2 on my list to go see.
Okay.
But that's the horror corner.
Now right. playing at all your grindhouse locations.
Right.
I have a horror adjacent streaming thing. I finished Evil. I caught up on the Evil situation 3 seasons. Yeah, what a weird, wacky kind of ending for the 3rd season, but I get it.
Yeah.
A bunch of stuff, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. give me back my egg, you son of a bitch. I don't know. I don't... Joe, did you watch the show? Because
I have not watched it as far as you have. I think I
was probably... God. Yeah.
Oh, you're way before me. Like, I'm 4 episodes in, I think.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you haven't, like, steamrolled through this. It's like, stop watching the menu and watch
right.
No. It's Critical Role now.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, mate.
You're welcome. I actually, I approve of that, and I understand. Wow. Fucking crazy. Like, I wasn't expecting, like, a random hallucinatory titty, but I appreciate it. And man, the lead actress in that could get it. She's I don't know what it is about her, but
right.
I think because she's Dutch.
But, yeah, Katja Herbers.
Yeah, Katja Herbers. She loves gold.
Yeah.
yeah, but amazing show. And the range on all the actors is amazing. I didn't think I was going to appreciate Asif Mami's character as much as I do.
Oh, he man. That role, I have a feeling that that role was probably written for him, you know, because he just owns it so well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, his little side stories are pretty fun too. Like,
pardon
the pun with the side kitten side story.
Yeah,
we'll let that one sit for Joseph. But
good stuff. Yeah,
but yeah, it's great. Thank you. My girlfriend beat me to it. she ran that season or the series way before I did. But yeah, it's really good. So thanks for that, Recco.
You're welcome. I don't know.
Yeah,
they wrapped. I follow them on Instagram and they wrapped filming the fourth season, I want to say 2 months ago.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So it's on the way. Maybe in the fall, who knows, they'll start releasing episodes.
Maybe by Halloween.
Yeah. I don't know what to do with my life now that I've made you watch Evil Nate. I really don't.
You can start badgering me about it.
That's right. Yeah. We can get Joe on the, on it and
stop watching Critical Role and watch Evil.
Pepper, salt and pepper them both in. You can do that. A little bit of Critical Role, a little bit of Evil. So
yeah, Evil is much more consumable than Critical Role is, because Critical Role you could just have in the background and not, you know, just let it run all day. Evil, you kind of got to pay attention a little bit to the visual.
Well, I mean, and you can get done you can get Evil done in the time it takes to watch what, 4 or 5 Critical Role episodes?
Yeah, they're pretty good, especially towards the end.
I don't even want to tell you what number I'm on.
What are you on, Joe?
40-something?
No, you're further than that, aren't you? Didn't you go through the Dorolo arc and all that?
Oh, yeah. So I'm just to where they get to Pyra, where they're opening up the rift where Thordak came through.
Right. And that's where Chris Hardwick's character.
Oh my God, I'm dying.
Yeah, that's funny. Okay.
Head to the desk, crying, laughing.
Oh, really?
Nice. Anyway, I digress.
Yes. That was my quick evil tangent. So.
Okay. Nice. No, I'm so glad that you're caught up and, it'll definitely be fun to watch along season 4 with someone as well. Yeah. So excellent. Well done, sir. Well done.
Took several years.
For work. All good. All good. I think I can take the fucking off of the, the suggestion sheet now.
Well, no, just put a comma Joe at the end of it.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right, Nate, you want to grace us with the Marvel Minute?
Grace us. Sure, yeah, it's been a bit. Out the gate, I know I missed a bunch of stuff since we've been gone for a long time, but
yeah, it's been a while.
Holy hell, Secret Wars looks amazing.
It does.
I can't wait for that show to come out. It's gonna be so good, and it's gonna bring back, like, it's got mad Winter Soldier vibes and like very cloak and dagger shit, and I'm it'll be cool. Let's see, MCU, there's a lot of stuff that happened. I guess there's a whole Jonathan Majors in flux situation.
So this is interesting, especially what in the last couple days?
Yeah, things have changed quite a bit. I mean,
yeah.
Apparently, there's a bunch of history of him calling 911 on his girlfriend, concerning about her. But there's a lot of stuff. I don't think we know all the facts yet, so I don't really want to make any judgment calls. It always, the victim is my initial reaction.
Right.
And then we'll see how things sort out. But it looks like he's not being replaced by Marvel yet. It looks like there's several other things that he is associated with that have already been like yanked. So,
they're in a tricky situation with that, because Loki 2 is essentially in the can, right? That comes out soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And he's like a main in that, right?
Well, I'm not sure if he's a main or not. I know a version of Kang is a main, and I think, right. I think it's a lot easier than we would imagine to pull him out, considering the whole multiverse angle.
Oh, but, you could totally explain it out for sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
But,
you
know, that's a lot of time and money and all that. But I mean, if the allegations are true, he definitely needs to get canceled or whatever the terminology is nowadays. But it gets real sticky when, like, there's these accusations and then they get pulled and then information coming out and then like conflicting stuff. So yeah, it was just
it's the Hardwick. It's literally the Hardwick dilemma, right?
Yeah. Kind of. Hardwick wasn't like on steroids juicing.
No.
For a movie either though. So,
right. Yeah. But again, I mean, essentially canceled for until this played out.
Right.
You know, and then
really recovered from it actually. Right. Like all of his after shows and everything, all that stuff is gone.
No, he still does them.
He's still doing.
Yeah, he isn't big on social media anymore.
Mm, yeah, sure. That was.
But
that
he's
was
still the, doing The Wall and still doing Talking Dead, and it's just he's not like posting on Twitter and Instagram all the time. And
gotcha.
Right. Yeah.
Rightfully so, I guess. Okay. Well, moving on. We'll see how that plays out. Hopefully, everybody's okay physically and mentally. Pivoting to a feel-good story, Disney Plus releases first ever ASL version of Marvel Studio movie. I thought this was really fucking cool. So Marvel officially announced a new ASL option for the deaf community to experience 2015's Ant-Man. I don't know why they chose this movie, which went live on Disney Plus Friday, April 14th. It's really cool. So there's a viewing option. You'll have an ASL performer in the bottom right corner of the screen, translating all the dialogue throughout the whole movie for those who are hard of hearing or deaf. I just thought this was a really cool thing.
Yeah.
It's interesting that they chose Ant-Man. I'm not really sure why, but I would love to get like some excerpts of what the translator's doing for like the fart jokes and stuff. You know how
right.
you have to like when you get an ASL translator for like when they're performing live in concert and WAP comes on, like they actually have to perform all that shit.
So right.
It'd be funny to see how that goes out, but I just thought this was a great story and it's about time and it's very cool. And hopefully that becomes more prevalent. So
I would just like to see the Michael Pena sequences. Mm-hmm. All done.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely have to catch up and do that very quickly.
Yeah.
Let's see. New data reveals Marvel's most successful movie of 2022. So, I have to zoom in. Enhance. let's see. So, officially, Doctor Strange 2 made the most money for Marvel in 2022. The most profit, actually, let's see. Box office profit and revenue. Wow. Okay. So I actually have a chart that's breaking all this stuff down. So they almost hit $1 billion for Doctor Strange 2.
Which is wow. That's
worth it.
Yeah, exactly. 900.
No, I'm serious.
Good flick. Black Panther 2, 855 million. They ended up profiting 259 million. And then Thor 4 box office was 780 million. But that thing was more expensive than both of those other movies. So it only made $103 million in profit, like pure profit.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, Doctor Strange 2, Electric Boogaloo took 2022. and that meant a kind of rhyme, but not really. So another kind of horror adjacent thing, Marvel Studios Blade reboot cast breakout horror star, even though we're not a huge fan of Mia Goth anymore, cause it's like the same thing over and over. She's going to be in the new Blade movie with Mahershala Ali and others. There were some interesting thoughts about who she could play, potentially like Dracula's daughter Lilith in the DCU. There's also the Mother of Demons take on Lilith from the Black Suns video game that just came out a little while ago. It came out a while ago, so could be a cool recurring big bad situation if they want to merge things. But I don't know. I think it's cool. I like the fact that it's a big get for Marvel as far as the horror fans go and that kind of thing. So I think it'll be cool. That movie is actually supposed to start shooting May 30th. So
Okay. Hey, birthday.
Maybe we'll actually get something going. Yay. happy pre-birthday. Let's see what else we got here. So Avengers Infinity War has a 45-minute Thanos sequence that was removed. It's basically how he got the Power Stone from Xandar.
Oh.
You know, he starts the movie with it, right? Where he's tearing apart Thor's ship.
Oh, right. And
so there's this whole 45-minute sequence that was apparently shot and animatic'd, but not fully animated. They didn't spend the money to actually finish it digitally.
Everything.
So it'll be interesting to see if that ever gets revealed, maybe as a bonus on something, but I'd love to see that because that movie, it would have been hard for that movie to be longer, but worth it, I think, to see him ravage Xandar, because that was like the whole point of Guardians of the Galaxy when they saved it from the Power Stone. Dance off that saved the universe. So
I hope they release some part of it. Back when I was buying DVDs, this was a while ago. And I don't know if I ever showed you this, but on 28 Days Later, there was a alternate ending from a certain point of the movie that they just storyboarded out, but they ended up doing the storyboards with this really like great like voiceover of the characters and everything. And it was one of the most like fascinating watches. I've watched it maybe like 5 or 6 times. And it's
I don't think we either.
Dude, if I can,
you didn't show it to me, or I totally forgot it.
Okay. If I can find it, if I can find it somewhere, I'll send it to you, because it's a fascinating watch. And like, I didn't think watching storyboards and voiceover would be that exciting to watch, but it is. So like, I hope some version of this gets released somehow somewhere.
Yeah, it looks like it exists on Vimeo, and it looks like YouTube maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
Right on. Very cool. Let's see. Deadpool 3 cast another major X-Men hero. So we got the word that Stefan is coming back as Colossus from Deadpool 2 and 1, and then also Marina Baccarin is coming back as Vanessa. So that'll be cool to see them back in that. I really hope they bring back Super Negasonic Teenage Warhead and...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what was the girl with the electric whips from the second one? Yukio.
Oh, right.
I want to see all of them again because they're I need to watch that movie again, actually. I love those. Let's see. Disney's X-Men reboot gets discouraging release date update. Boo. So X-Men 97 was supposed to come out this fall. It looks like it's getting rumored to be getting pushed into 2024. Undisclosed time, so I'm not sure why. Yeah, super bummer, because I've been hard jonesing for this. I'm gonna have to go through and watch the series, because apparently it's supposed to pick up right where the original cartoon left off. So
okay,
see what happens. That'll be cool. Marvel teased its own upcoming Comic-Con event, so AvengerCon is gonna be a thing.
Nice.
Avenger from the game. Yeah, it's going to actually be a thing. So they might redo the name, obviously, to be a little more inclusive. But they're talking seriously about having their own Comic-Con level Marvel event, which makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to get all that stuff under one roof, you know, games and TV and movies and all that stuff. That's really, really smart. Let's see. James Gunn teases Marvel DC crossover possibility now that he's a studio exec. So this is a really cool quote, actually. So Gunn noted how there's always a possibility for that to happen, but the focus right now is on making each of the respective universes as strong as possible, obviously. So quote,
yeah,
I think there's always the possibility of that. I think that'd be a fun thing for fans to see. I do think it's just about grounding the universes now, but he's also very close friends and he talks all the time with Kevin Feige. So He also explained how, while there is some rivalry between the superhero companies, they both have the same goal: to embolden the movie-going experience. They've done this very successfully a few times in comic book history, a few times not so successfully, considering the state of animation and special effects and the superhero genre. I guarantee you this will happen. I just hope it isn't like the moment where it jumps a shark.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
we'll see, because it's super saturated as far as the market goes. People are
burned out on it, but the super comic book nerds, I think, are still here for all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when it comes to their respective universes. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's really all I grabbed from April. There's a lot. So
okay.
I know there's definitely things I missed, but yeah.
Still? No? Well, darn. Okay, so let's move on to my segment. And I've never really enjoyed the name of my segment. So until I think of a better thing, a better name for it, I'm just going to call it Shit You Should Be Watching.
Why, you didn't like streaming service, which sounds like a golden shower pay to play?
Right. No, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Like, I just wasn't, you know, I don't know. I listened to myself say it on the podcast, and I just, like, it never sounded right. So
she gives the best streaming service, believe me.
There are stuff. Sorry. No, that's okay. It's okay. Anyway, so Shit You Should Be Watching. Here we go. The Ark on Sci-Fi. This is an interesting show because there's no huge name attached. I don't know that there's source material for it. There might be. But man, it's a good show. Like, it was one of those shows where after the first show, you're like, it's not terrible, but we'll give it the three show watch, right? Every show, you give it three shows. It's not good by the third show. You can probably let it go.
Yeah.
After the third show, we were hooked. Jamie and I love this show. It is a sort of immediate watch for us after it comes out on Wednesday nights. And the season one finale is happening this week. So it's essentially the Earth is screwed, and they are sending out massive arcs to the next nearby habitable planet. And, you know, just like any sort of like long voyage, they're asleep, something bad happens, they need to wake up, and they need to
fix shit.
Well, yeah, fix stuff. We thought it was going to be like this weird, like, oh, something wrong with the ship every week episode. It's not that, thankfully. And, but one of the cool things that they do is one of the sections that gets damaged, and this happens in the first 10 minutes of the show, so I'm not giving anything away, is the entire command deck of where all the command people were sleeping gets wiped out. So
the blue screen of death.
Awesome.
So, yeah. So like highest ranking officer on the ship now is like a lieutenant, you know, that was sort of forced into the position, and they're trying to figure everything out and trying to get everything going. So the graphics, this is a sci-fi show, you know, they could be a lot better, but still, it's a solid watch. The writing's really good, and it's a night of watch for us when it comes out. Gotham Knights on the CW. This is one of those shows that I, as soon as I saw the trailer, I'm just like, oh, that, no. Not gonna watch it. Like, this is probably not never I'm gonna
a night song in the back of my head right now.
Oh yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. But no, I just didn't think I was gonna give it the time. So we were watching Superman and Lois, which is fantastic, by the way. See, I think they're in season three right now. We're a couple episodes in, and it's still really good. But then we saw that this was coming up afterwards, right? And so Jamie and I decided to give it a shot. And again, three episode watch, right? You got to give it three episodes. First episode, we were just like, all right, that's kind of okay.
That's a great look. I wish people could see the look. You're like, all right.
Yeah.
Why does it smell like baby shit?
Right. No. And so it was funny because they're not focusing on any lore, right? They're adjusting the lore sort of to their writing. So they're not really using, like, they're referencing, there are some established characters in the DC universe that are there, right? But the the main cast of the show are completely new people to the universe. So and so it's like throwing everything you know about Batman sort of out the window, right? You're good watching this show. So it was funny. First show, we were just like, oh, we'll give it another shot. Second show, I said this to Jamie, I don't love it, but I don't hate it. It's like,
it's American cheese.
Right. No, exactly. Like, I don't not like this show. You know,
it's not the last of us, but it's not the worst of us.
Right. Exactly. Great. Yeah. No, I am. I'm sorry, Mr. Church, for that double negative. So by the third show, we were just like, no, this ain't bad. This is pretty damn good.
Question.
Yeah.
This is on my radar just because of Misha Collins.
Okay.
On that front, should I watch it or not?
Who?
Castiel from Supernatural is supposed to be in Gotham Knights, I believe.
Oh, yeah. So this is funny. Yeah. So he plays Harvey Dent.
Yes. Two-Face.
Yeah. It's so funny because he looks so much like Ben McKenzie, who just got off of Gotham playing Jim Gordon, right? So I thought it was really funny that they cast an actor that looks a lot like Ben McKenzie playing Harvey Dent. But other than that, they just introduced the Two-Face aspect of his character. They're not doing a traditional sort of take on Two-Face, which is cool. And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, damn it, I'm watching it.
Yeah. No,
for Misha.
He's very green in the first few episodes, but I think Jamie and I are in episode 4, episode 5 right now, and they are really starting to ramp up his storyline. So, and it's a very interesting take on Two-Face, and it's got to
say, I can't even imagine him as... I can kind of imagine him as Two-Face, but
so they're not necessarily doing as Gotham was realized in a more real sort of Gotham and less comic booky, you know. This is painting that picture as well. So again, when I say Two-Face, they're... don't think of it as traditional Tommy Lee Jones, like,
yeah,
you know,
don't expect,
yeah, don't expect half and half, expect something
a little different.
Yeah. So, but it's, like I said, it's a solid watch. If you have any affinity for Gotham as a whole, it's done really well. The girl playing the Joker's daughter is really good. She's nutty and crazy, but yeah, the little group that forms to become the Knights of Gotham I think it's put together really well, and they're doing a Court of Owls storyline to start off.
Cool.
Yeah, which has been the underlying. So Bruce Wayne bites it in the very first episode, with thrown out of Wayne Tower.
Spoilers, gosh.
First 10 minutes. wearing just like a business suit, but then the bat mask, and then has a Court of Owls coin on him. And that starts the whole thing. So, all right. That's all I'm going to say about Gotham Knights. If you get a chance, watch it. It's pretty good. I think we're in episode 6 coming up this week. Sit down, guys, for a second. I'm sorry to put you through this, but I got to talk Star Trek Picard for a little bit, season 3. If you have any sort of love for Star Trek The Next Generation, stop what you're doing and watch Star Trek Picard season 3. You don't need
hard
to watch.
Pass. Hard pass.
You kidding. don't need to watch season 1 and season 2. You can start with season 3, and you will get caught up. there are elements where things may be a little confusing, but they explain it enough for you. This season of Picard is a love letter to the Next Generation. Now, when they initially came out and said that they were going to do a Star Trek Picard series, the one thing that brought Patrick Stewart back was that it wasn't going to be a continuation of the Next Generation. It was going to be sort of a separate story. This being the final season of Picard, they have kind of worked in the Next Generation cast without it necessarily being a continuation of the final bit of where they landed at the end of the series. Now, what they're doing, like good Star Trek always does, is they focus on an episode, a really good episode of my cat decided to come say hi. Sorry.
What does your cat look like toothless from How to Train Your Dragon?
Right. Yeah.
Bat wings for sure.
I know, right? We got her little bat wings for Halloween. She did not like those.
She's a cat.
Anyway, yeah, she's a cat. She doesn't like stuff on her. Anyway, they're focusing on the best of both worlds episodes where Picard turns into Locutus of Borg, and they're running a very deep-seated sort of storyline within that. So there's a lot of first contact notes, which was the best Next Generation movie by far, I think. And they have pulled out sort of all the slots. And the finale is this week. They're even showing the finale in IMAX studio, like IMAX cinemas.
Awesome.
Yeah. Trying so hard. The closest one we have is 44 miles away. A little bit too far of a drive on a Thursday night. But cameos from the Next Generation are so many in here just for this. Again, all of the main cast, with the notable exception of Will Wheaton, who's still running the after show, thank God, on this. And then some great additions, as always. Amanda Plummer plays the villain for the first half of the season, which she's just incredible. Todd Stashwick plays the sort of salty captain of the USS Titan that gets appropriated for use by John Luke and William Riker. The Next Generation cast looks fantastic and is fantastic in this. Also, Misha Burton, LeVar Burton's daughter, plays his daughter in this.
That's so awesome. I love that.
It's so great. I'm going to say something that will probably get me thrown off of this podcast. But anyway. So we're and it's funny that they've come out week to week, and this, you know, this year in particular, we're getting new Star Wars and new Star Trek, new Star Wars on Wednesday, new Star Trek on Thursday nights, right? And they're both sort of hearkening back to older stories that have been told but are being not necessarily retold but are being expanded upon right now. I hate to say that I'm more excited for Thursday nights than I have been for Wednesday nights.
I mean, obviously you're a Star Trek fanboy, like I'm a Marvel fanboy.
Yeah. Right. But there's just something about the season. I would be like, I want to just send a really great, shout out to my friend Hera, who I have been, talking Picard with recently, because she's just as excited about Picard as I am, and we have adopted the holy shit text as to not to disturb anybody who has not seen it yet. So Obviously, if you haven't seen it yet, all you need to do is text "Holy shit, Picard" to know that you're missing a incredible episode and you need to watch it as soon as possible. So,
is that where we failed with you, Jovan? We didn't "Holy shit, Mando."
I got the "Holy shit." It was just the cards didn't align on that one.
Right.
We're going to have to timestamp your Critical Role consumption.
Well, no, I actually have a life outside from all that.
But anyway, here, like I said, Star Trek Picard Season 3 is sort of everything a Star Trek fan wanted out of Star Trek. This a sort of finality to the Next Generation storyline, if you will, and more. So, wow. On that note, I just heard today that we're getting a Star Trek Section 31 movie, which is basically Star Trek Secret Service with Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah, I saw
reprising her role as the captain from Discovery. So that's going to be incredible. Star Trek Picard. Again, if you have any affinity for the Next Generation, watch this, because you're missing out on some of the best Star Trek that has ever been told. On that note, I can get off my Star Trek podium and we can start talking about the two movies that two-thirds of us have seen.
Such ridiculous. Like, we're going to give you partial review understanding highlights ish.
Right. Yeah. I know that Joe, you brought up Critical Role. So I kind of want to discuss Dungeons and Dragons first, if that's okay.
Go for it.
Okay. Nate, I've been talking for a while. and you are, as an active D&Der, mm-hmm. I want to get your thoughts, because I know that you weren't that excited about this movie coming out to begin with.
Well, cautiously optimistic would be giving it a little too much credit. Okay. Well, I mean, anyone who knows every D&D movie before this has been terrible. Awful.
Right.
Yeah. And not like intentionally slapsticky, like Your Highness or something like that.
Right.
It's been awful. And, you know, Jeremy Irons aside, it's been terrible. No, I was pleasantly surprised. I was actually really shocked at how much I liked it. I really want to see it again, actually, to try to catch a lot of the things that I missed. There's so many great videos breaking down all the different little hidden things. But my favorite moment is basically the beginning of the movie. And obviously we're going to be spoiling things here, but you find out that the main character played by Chris Pine was a Harper at one point in time, which is the secret society that basically is trying to prevent world ending calamities and defeat evil across the continent. And funny enough, that's Addie's middle name is Harper. Uh-huh. And that's why, actually.
No way, really?
Yeah. Seriously? Yeah. Well, that's it was a trying to figure out the middle name, saw it in a magazine and suggested it. It got the thumbs up. And while I was like, at the same time, I'm like, it's a D&D thing too. Oh my God, it's like a D&D thing. So I've been trying to figure out, I've been wanting to get a tattoo, like an Addie themed tattoo for a really long time, but didn't want it to be like super cheesy. Like it's her astrological sign with her birthday in it or something like that, which would still be fine. But I have a very stylized version of the Harper symbol from one of my old D&D books that I think I want to get done. That'll be really cool. But anyway, so that was, I was pleasantly surprised, and we saw this movie with Addie and her best friend and Annie and her two of her boys. Uh-huh. And I'm sitting next to Addie, and as soon as that storyline starts explaining itself, I'm like, like poking her in the shoulder. So yeah, anyway,
that's super great. Fun.
It's a really fun fantasy adventure set in a very fan-serviced filled fantasy D&D world, basically. It's the Forgotten Realms, which is the main D&D world, and they show like there's this whole map flyover at the beginning, and I'm like telling Addy, oh my god, that's where the such book I read to you was, and oh my god, that's such and such. So they do a really good job of like giving you all the fan service, but not requiring any of it, not requiring any pre-knowledge of D&D. It's really just a fun fantasy romp is really the best way to say it. Chris Pine is perfect in this role. I was really kind of like, really? I think he's gonna mail it in. He doesn't really mail it in. He's
no,
like
he was
dancing
on
and singing in certain parts and like, ironically with the lute, but then also fighting and stuff. The characters are all great. Michelle Rodriguez is awesome as the barbarian.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of cameos that I don't know if we should spoil, but oh my god, the cameos are perfectly timed and pretty amazing. Hugh Grant actually kind of mailed it in a little bit, but also kind of didn't. I think he did a pretty good job. Kind of standout characters for me were the two kind of lesser knowns. I'm trying to remember the names. Justice Smith, although he's not really lesser known, and Sophia Lillis as the sorcerer and the tiefling, druid, respectively. I thought they were really good. And then also like the main bad chicky, Daisy Head as Sophina. She was creepy.
Oh, yeah.
And there was actually some really dark moments in this, like darker than I expected moments. But then also just some amazing slapstick, like the, you know, Speak with Dead spell, which is legitimately, it works in a legitimate D&D world where you get five questions.
Yeah.
And of course you kind of knew where it was headed, where you know, they're talking to each other and the thing's responding like, yes. And then like, long story short, Joe, they have to try and find this artifact. And so they go to this battlefield with this Speak with Dead spell. You get five questions from one dead thing, and then it dies forever and you can't use the spell on it again. So they're at a battlefield with all these corpses just going around to different coffins, popping them open, talking to different people, like, oh, I think I remember it was over there. And then blah, blah. And so the catch is, if you don't ask the fifth question, the thing just sits there waiting for the fifth question in death, just like sitting up. And so by the time they're getting fed up with it, they just start asking random questions at the end to finish the five questions. They're like, what's 2 + 2? I'm bad at math. And it dies.
The very first guy they resurrect, though, I love that they you know, because they're trying to figure out how to use it, and like, wait, that counts as a question?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. They're talking to each other and the corpse is answering because it's they did a really good job with some of the beasts. There wasn't enough of certain ones, but holy fat dragon.
Oh man, that sequence Jobin, was so good.
Yeah, I guarantee you're going to want a fat dragon plushie after you see this.
Yeah.
Because even the commercials don't really do it justice. Like, it's quite a bit. Thunder Chard, Ember Chard, I forget the name of the dragon. But basically, it has devoured so much that it's pudgy. It can't really fly. And it's rolling down hills of bones and coins to crush people.
Yeah, like, it trips over the thing. I was just like, oh god, that was hilarious. So great. Yeah.
Ultimately
his last lair?
Yeah, exactly. Ultimately, it's a really kind of, it's just a fun fantasy romp that has a lot of fan service and a lot of kind of cheesy jokes, but also some really kind of poignant moments. And overall, it's just a fun movie. And unfortunately, it's pretty like derivative of your typical like fantasy tropes, but that was the point. And I think they hinted at that on purpose, so you knew what to expect. So you basically go in expecting exactly what they delivered, which is why it's so damn successful. Like, it's still at 90% fresh on the tomato meter from the critics, and 93% audience score with over 2,500 verified ratings. It's fun. It's super fun.
Yeah. For someone who doesn't have sort of a richer D&D background, like both of you, I like I said, I loved it. I thought it was great. And just from that sort of point of view, like it appealed to me in a way that I could see it appealing to the general public, you know? Mm-hmm. That being said, like the things that I did like appreciate were sort of those little nuance. I thought the Paladin was perfect.
Page, yeah.
Oh man.
Irony. Like his... that cuts the one wheel to the boat.
Right. I mean, literally every line he delivers is just like on point for the character and like
very
great.
Snarky,
and
so like holier than thou. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just thought that was that whole aspect of it. And again, I thought the story that they were telling in this world, I thought was really good and was really well done. I totally dug it. I thought it was great. You walk out of the theater, at least for me, sometimes asking yourself if it was worth the money, you know, to go see it. And I didn't have that thought at all walking out. We loved it. And I was
worth the theater watch.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just for some of those bigger than life sequences.
Right. When they're in the Underdark or in the,
yeah,
the, what's the dwarven, the, whatever the lava place is where Thumbrichard lives or whatever.
Right.
It's just visually stunning. Yeah.
Really. Oh yeah. So, and they didn't, like they didn't skimp on the effects at all either. I thought it was
went pretty hard with the effects. Like they did a great job with the displacer beasts in the maze and then the gelatinous cube and the mimic that was the chest. And yeah, they did a good job with that. And then even Joe, do you remember because you went through the Underdark adventures with Critical Role at the beginning, did they have to fight Intellect Devourers in that at all? Like the brains with legs, the brain dogs with legs are called Intellect Devourers.
No, they had
mind flayers and beholder, I think, and a bunch
of beholder stuff, and then the little like the little weird brain things.
I think that was the brain things. Basically they're called intellect devourers and they go after the most intelligent beings and then basically eat the brains and replace themselves into the brain cavities and puppet the critters. And there's this whole just silly scene where they're on this high ledge overlooking Menzoberranzan in the Underdark, and these three brains with legs, they're fucking nasty in the actual D&D campaign, just to start walking towards them on this ledge, and they're like, oh god, it attacks the things with the most intellect. And it's you know what's going to happen. They just walk on by. It's like it's like a family of them. Just walk by them. Don't even pay them any attention. And you're like, well, I don't know whether to be insulted or relieved.
Well, doesn't Pine just say, oh man, well, that's hurtful.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, good times.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. With that, let's move into Mario.
Dun, 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 dun.
Joe, what do you think of Mario?
Okay, I feel bad for everybody that was in the theater with me on this. Because so I went to this with Mousy and her 7-year-old kid. But we were cackling so bad through this whole movie. Like everybody else was silent for the most part, and we're like, because like we both played Mario forever, and she immediately was like, we're going, and I'm like, okay, yeah, we're going. And it was hilarious, it was fun, it was like awesome. I was a little like, the first part of the movie where it was like Mario in the real world, I was like, oh, this is lame.
Yeah.
Let's get to the good shit. Once he got into the Mushroom Kingdom, I'm like, yes, this is perfect. Yeah. I love this movie. It was so awesome.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think this was done really well. Chris Pratt's voice didn't bug me that much. I thought it would bug me more.
It didn't bug me. It freaked me out because it was seriously like Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
It's all I heard. Yeah. I was like, that's so weird.
Right.
And right. like even Mousy like hit me. She's like, is that Billy Crystal? And I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah. No, I thought it was done. I thought this was done really well. I thought it was a good, it was a very good, you know, like except the Pedro Pascal SNL trailer aside, you know, right. like you can't, I think Mario exists for animation and this type of movie.
And they did it really right.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't think it will ever translate into a live action anything.
No.
Right. Yeah.
They did perfect fan service for like. Well, I will say this. It's a love letter to if you've played all the Mario games, if you're into.
Yeah.
Nintendo as a whole.
Yeah.
You're going to love this movie if you've played like Mario Party, Donkey Kong, Mario Kart. If you're into all of that, you're going to love this movie so much.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I mean, they really, and not just necessarily, you know, it's not just necessarily a movie set in the Mario world and, you know, going over any sort of storyline, but I mean, it does take you on sort of your journey with Mario as well, you know, and especially when they're doing the training sequence with mm-hmm. him and the princess, like, you know, like, yeah, you have to go through the levels 100 times to get it right, you know, like, I just thought I thought that was really funny. Like I really appreciated that part because it was like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. I had to do
this.
This
is how it feels playing the game.
Playing the game.
You're gonna have to make the same jump 30 times until you actually nail it.
Right. Yeah. So I totally appreciated that part of it. And then man, Jack Black is Bowser.
Oh man.
Like so, you know, like there's some times where he just goes like a little too over the top. You know, but he was perfect here.
Yeah,
he was great. And goddamn, I can't get the song out of my head. I can't get the song
right
out of my head.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
Nate, go watch this.
Go check it out if you can. Once the back,
like, do the $5 Tuesday if you have to. Just go.
Yeah, it's such a solid watch. You won't be upset with it, and it's good. It's really good.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of Easter eggs.
I mean, yeah. Literal Easter eggs.
Easter eggs.
Yeah, his song debuted on the Hot 100.
Right. No, yeah.
Either on the Hot 100.
And it's right in my head.
All right. Yep. Yeah.
Funny. So after the movie, like we get out of the theater and my friend's like 6-7-year-old daughter was like, can we go back home and play Mario? And yeah. I'm like my heart kind of broke a little bit because I was like, no, we have stuff to do, but God damn it, all I wanted to do is go home and play Mario.
Oh man. So, there's a one of the redeeming factors of Salem, Oregon right now is right downtown. There's a movie theater called the Cinnabar, and it's the ones where you can order, you know, food and booze during the movie. Right. Mm-hmm. Which is great. But they put a Mario Brothers arcade cabinet right outside of the theater.
What?
And so Xander was like, oh, daddy, can we play this? I'm like, yeah, let's play this. Let's do this, right? And so...
Yes, of course.
Right. No, yes. Yes, young one, learn, right? And so anyway, teaching him how to play it, and we're he's Mario, I'm Luigi. We're getting, like, we both died very quickly in the very first round. Second round, we got to, I want to say the crabs, and then Xander lost, and then I went on a tear. Got through like the second or third ice level and then I died, but then I got the top score in the on the cabinet, which was cool. So thank you. Yeah.
Golf clap.
Right. Yeah. So, but anyway, it's again, such a good movie, such a great watch. I didn't expect to like it as much as I did. Just because I don't know that the trailers didn't necessarily paint a good sort of, like, it just seemed like Mario, like, everywhere, you know, like the trailer did that. I didn't think it was going to be as good as it ended up being for me. So,
and I didn't either, because, like, honestly, yeah. I really wasn't going to go watch it until, like, my friend was like,
"No, oh, yeah,
I'm going to watch this," and I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah.
And
we were both
just dying.
We were in the parking lot on Sunday to go see it at Veranda, and that's when my back went out on me, so I had to limp home and didn't miss the movie. Fandango also wouldn't give me a refund because I was sitting in their support queue for like 10 minutes and then the showtime elapsed. And so they're like, "Sorry, sir. After the showtime starts, we're blocked." And I've called everybody. I've written emails. Like, there's write off $40 worth of movie tickets and never use Fandango again.
You know, they're waiting for you, right? Like, they say, you can see it. Oh, Nate Tussey on line 3, showtime at 1:00. We're going to answer his call at 1:01.
There were 7 people ahead of us, and then there were 4 people for like 10 minutes almost, 6 minutes or something like that.
Oh, man.
By the time we got somebody on the fucking chat, it was too late on their end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really fucking bullshit. Fuck Fandango.
Right. any more on Mario, Joe?
No, I think I'm good.
No.
Yeah, just right. Go watch it. If you have any affinity for Mario at all in any capacity, go watch it.
Yeah, it's such a solid watch. It's really good. All right. I have a quick little gaming thing to bring up. This is weird. So the family has been gaming co-op for the last month. For the last hour of the night before Xander goes to bed, we have discovered this game called Unrailed. Have you guys heard about this?
Mm-mm.
All right. So Unrailed, you are, you're building train tracks to get the train to the station. You got to cut through trees. You got to cut through walk. You have to make the tracks on the train to get the train through. Xander found this game. He's looking for a new game to play. And I sat down and played it with him. You can play cross-platform, which is good, right? And you can have people come in. You know, you can play online with people. And it is such a highly addictive, fun game. You're going through a forest to begin with, but then, like, you can go underwater, or you can go through the Wild West, or you can go through the snow, right? And each sort of biome presents its own little, challenges and everything. You can get to space and build in space, and you have little jetpacks, and you're flying through everything. It's just, it's such a fun, addictive game. Like, we're going to play after we hang up here.
What's the name again?
It's called Unrailed.
All right.
It should be a pretty cheap game. It's like, it's such a simple game, but it's so fun. I just like chopping trees and mining the rocks to get the iron to build the, you know, to build the stuff. Xander likes making the tracks and building everything. And then Jamie's sort of support for either, which is great. So we all have our little jobs, and then you can upgrade your train to do different things, to hold more resources, to build tracks faster and everything. And it's such a fun game. If you guys get the chance to check it out, just to play a demo, because there was a demo available before we bought it, and it took you through, I think, the first two biomes.
It was free on the Epic Game Store last year. So the question is, did I remember to grab it? Don't know.
Yeah. It's so much fun. Check it out. It's a lot of fun. So yeah. What? Okay. I have been informed by my son that it is $20 currently on that stuff. So
thank you, Xander.
Yeah, you're welcome. He should be in the shower, but he is not. do we have anything else? No. Any other tidbits?
I don't think so. Oh, watch Ted Lasso. It's amazing this season.
Oh,
you haven't had a chance to watch it yet. It's really good. Annie came over yesterday and kind of took care of me all day, and we mainlined the 5 episodes that were available.
Yeah, I watched the pilot really a couple weeks ago, and it was really good. So,
you haven't watched Ted Lasso?
No.
Oh my God! Come on, Andy.
Sorry.
Is this going to be the next thing on our list in all caps?
Fucking Ted Lasso.
Yeah, there you go.
Jesus there you go. Christ.
Did you guys watch the Tetris movie?
No,
I heard that was really good. It's on my list.
Dude, it's so good.
I've heard it's really good.
It's very good. Yeah. Nice. No, nice. Not what you expect but it's solid.
I heard it's like a fun thriller type.
It is.
You know,
no,
edge of your seat stuff.
Yeah.
Right on.
All right. Nothing else?
No, I think I'm good.
That's it. That's all. Damn. All right. What did you guys think of the Dungeons and Dragons movie? If you saw it, what did you guys think of Mario? If you saw it, next time, Rum and Regret, we're going to be talking Mandalorian. Be prepared for that, because it will probably have some very heated discussion over Star Wars. No. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Oh my.
Let us know what you guys thought of the D&D movie. Let us know what you thought of the Mario movie. Again, you can find us on the socials at Facebook, Rum and Regret Podcast, on Twitter at @Rum_Regret. Nate, where can they find you?
Sure. Avid Gamer, AV1D Gamer on all the socials and your gaming platforms of choice.
Joe, where can they find you?
At Joe Chickadee, or on all the socials, or at joechickadee.com.
You can find me at Andrew Drake on Twitter, at Crazy Drake on Facebook. And until the next time, we have spoken. Peaches, 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 peaches.
Yes!
Peaches, you're the peaches, worst. Peaches, that was going to be my closer.
Peaches, peaches, peaches.
And it's peaches, 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 peaches.
You haven't even seen the movie, Nate.
You're not allowed.
That's why it would have been such a great closer. God damn it.